you've spoken out against Walmart's attempt to come to the District of Columbia in a really massive way with four stores. Talk about why you've spoken out.
As a proponent of local businesses, locally independently owned businesses, I feel that the presence of Walmart is really the antithesis of that. It's going to create a whole different landscape in a city that's not very dense. And to bring one Walmart would be a big assault. To bring four Walmarts would be devastating, I think, for small local businesses.
Can you describe this company, Walmart?
It's a behemoth. It is one of the largest corporations in the world. Just its advertising budget alone exceeds that of at least 12 countries in the world, GDP of 12 countries in the world. It's a company that thrives on really exploiting workers and people that produce products all over the globe. They've sort of institutionalized kind of the neo-colonialism sort of model of exploiting, abusing, and then, you know, selling products at far lower prices than they should in order for them to be their competitors. And they've done that very, very well over years, and have amassed enormous amounts of wealth and enormous amounts of power, of course, that goes with that wealth. And they are able to basically put out many, many businesses out of business and continue to sort of be sort of a parasite on communities throughout the world, really.
And yet the argument that gets made again and again is we're in need of jobs in the District of Columbia. And so Walmart will bring jobs. How do you see it?
Yes, Walmart will bring jobs, but then the question is, what kind of jobs? I think a lot of the jobs that Walmart is going to bring are going to be well below living wages in the city. I think the people that work at Walmart will be dependent on city services and welfare services in the city and really end up costing the city even more. The fact of the matter is that for every two jobs that Walmart brings, three are lost to small local businesses. Because of their size, they're so efficient, in a sense, that they end up really cutting out many, many services that small businesses would otherwise use. For example, they'll be able to take all of their profits, let's say outside of the city, and be able to shelter their profits and therefore not pay city taxes. So in that sense, they're not going to really benefit the city in a real way. They will also be, you know, most of the jobs that they have are at minimum or close to minimum wage jobs, and therefore it's not really going to create an uptick in the net production of jobs in the city. So it's, and also because of their size and because of their power, they're really going to sort of dumb down the labor conditions in the city, which are already kind of difficult, I think, for most people would agree. But they're really going to put a pressure downwards as opposed to a pressure upwards on the way jobs are done in the city, and for other businesses to follow suit. If Walmart is going to do it, other businesses are also going to do it in the same way, and Walmart doesn't set a good example.
If people might hear some little noise in the background. We're in your Busboys and Poets on 14th and V Street. It's Friday evening. I just wanted to point that out. And I wanted to read from this March 1st Post statement that you put out. Quote, "With a charm offensive and an ad budget that is greater than the gross domestic product of many small countries, Walmart is carefully orchestrating the rollout of four stores it wants to build in Washington, D.C. With unemployment above 9% and an economy in need of a boost, some boosters are too eager to welcome a kind of big box Trojan horse."
Yeah, I mean, Walmart is really trying to hit all the notes. They're meeting with city council members. They're meeting with community leaders. They're basically charming their way into the city. They are not asking for any tax abatements, which is usually a way that opposition can form. But they're sort of, going around that. On the contrary, they're promising to pay some fees for some community or organizations or, set up job training or hire people and so on and so forth. So they really have learned over the years from the assault that they've received from other activists saying that we don't want Walmart here, and have done a lot of footwork to alleviate and snuff out some of the opposition. Even with that, there is a lot of opposition still out there. I think there are some communities that may, on a short-term basis, gain some benefits from having a Walmart there, but over a long period of time, and I'm saying just a few years, those benefits will be far surpassed by the amount of bad things that the community is going to be facing, i.e. jobs that are well below what a living wage would look like in this city, i.e. procurement practices that are not going to help the world or their communities anyway. They're not going to be buying locally. They're not going to be sourcing anything locally. Yes, they're going to have cheap products. They are all about consumers. They're all about consumerism and spending money and making as much money as possible with as little as possible, and really trying to undercut any opposition. So their plan is to come here and make sure that nobody stands a chance to survive within a few mile radius around each one of their spaces. The city is very small, doesn't have a lot of people that live in it. We have 600,000 people that live in the city. It's relatively small as cities go. It's not very dense. And for us to have four Walmarts in each one of the quadrants is really going to change the whole landscape of what a neighborhood looks like. Neighborhoods have neighborhood shops. They have a shoe store and a gift shop, and they have cleaners, and they have a restaurant, and they have a coffee shop, and they have a tire store, and a gas station, all this. Walmart is all of that in one. All of that in one. And does it for less. Now, when we think of cheap products, one would say, well, why not want cheap products? Doesn't everybody want cheap products? The reality is that the cheap products come at a very high cost. The cost is to really enslave people in third world countries to be able to get products at very, very low prices and sell them to us here. So we can go into a store and feel good about buying a $10 pair of shoes, where that person that made that shoe doesn't have a shoe to wear, doesn't have a school to go to, doesn't have a bathroom to go to. That is not the way we can make the world a better place. Walmart is trying to position itself to be the retailer of the world and really creating this underclass that's going to continue to grow and continue to have this disparity between the haves and have-nots. And a Walmart model is not sustainable in any duration.
In a November 2010 post, you wrote, quote, "Years ago, when I was first starting my restaurant business, I was approached by someone who pulled up a truck at my back door and offered me cases of tomatoes, lettuce, and other vegetables at impossibly low prices. I was tempted to buy the products before realizing that these were stolen products. For me to accept them would amount to being an accessory and would create a market situation that is unsustainable. I recognize the hidden costs that such a transaction would entail. I refuse them. The next time you find a pair of shoes for $5 at Walmart or another big box retailer, ask yourself the question, what is the real cost of this shoe? The reality is that without slave labor, this shoe could not have been possible at that price. I know that poverty in this city is undeniable. However, you cannot fix a right with the wrong. Using Walmart as an argument to provide cheap products for poor people in this city, as some politicians have suggested, is abdicating the responsibility and the role of government to its citizens. We cannot rob one community to feed another."
I mean, that's really what it's all about. For me, it's not about trying to be an elitist or saying that poor people don't deserve to be able to have a pair of shoes or eat for less. I think there is a responsibility that government has in order to make sure that its least fortunate are provided for. But Walmart is not the answer, because what Walmart does is unsustainable. It is taking from some other community who has poor people and giving it to this community that has poor people in it. It is, over a period of time, we're really creating a world that's neither you or I want to live in.
In the Washington Business Journal, they quoted you as saying, allowing Walmart to have such a huge footprint in D.C. is the equivalent of economic crack, a short-term feel-good solution that will inhibit competition, snuff out entrepreneurship, and destroy the character of the community.
Yeah, I think for a lot of politicians, they really do have to react to short-term gains because, you know, every cycle comes around, people are saying, what have you done? What have you done in the years you've been there? And so they have to show some real, brick-and-mortar sometimes impact of what they have done over the time they served. I think part of being a politician is being a leader, and leaders have to be able to guide people into a way that is much more sustainable than just a quick fix. I likened it to the economic crack because crack does give you that quick fix. Once you're off the high, you're just back to where you were or worse off. So I think, you know, bringing a Walmart is a quick fix, no question. It may have an impact in a very short period of time, but over time is going to have a detrimental impact on the city, on the landscape of the city, on the economics of the city, on the identity of the city. So many things get impacted by a Walmart. Just a perfect example is one of the Walmarts that's going up near the Petworth area. That area is just aching to explode, to become really something exciting and vibrant and diverse. And, you know, there are a lot of businesses up and down Georgia Avenue there in that area where Walmart wants to go. They're all just kind of barely making it. They're barely making it. But they're businesses. They're moms and pops. They're owned by people, families. People go to use their products. A Walmart is going to come in. Many of these businesses will be boarded up because they won't be able to sustain themselves. They won't be able to compete with Walmart and stay in business. And so what's going to happen is those people are going to shut down their doors and they're going to walk away. And suddenly that community that could have been unique and exciting and vibrant is suddenly just another strip somewhere USA. You just don't have the identity of Petworth, and that area will be destroyed forever. For a very long time, if not forever. What happens with a Walmart is Walmart will be there. If they don't make it, Walmart will just close down. They just shutter their windows and doors and walk away. And what they leave is an economic crater behind, a place that's not going to be just desolate for years and years and years. Who's going to come and redevelop it, tear it all down, start over again? That's going to create another period of economic depression in that neighborhood, in that area. So it's just a cycle, I think, that needs to be broken. And although it is a quick fix, politicians have to resist the temptation to say this is the only way. What they need to do instead of a Walmart is develop entrepreneurial zones, give people a chance to really be creative, give incentives for young entrepreneurs and ideas that are like completely out of the box, completely original and interesting. Create a vibrant, exciting marketplace so that people can have smaller shops to be able to exchange with one another and be able to have a community that can over time develop an identity. Not identities and developed by a big box that's just dumped in the middle of nowhere. Identities developed over a period of time organically from within the community, slowly, one piece at a time. Government has to play a role. They have to give incentives. Businesses aren't going to go to places where there aren't incentives to be able to do well. People want to be able to do well, and they can't without government help. And government needs to step in and help the small entrepreneur to be able to create a footprint that's long-lasting, as opposed to stepping aside and saying, let Walmart come and do their thing, and then we'll be sitting here years from now saying, why did we do this to ourselves? D.C. is struggling right now to create an identity for itself. And having four Walmarts is not the way to do it. We need to really kind of unearth some of the creative industries, creative energy that's bubbling under the surface of the city, waiting for incentives, for opportunities to sort of blossom. That's where we need to go rather than support a Walmart.
I met you, Andy, started working with you around Northrop Grumman attempted tax break of tens of millions of dollars to Northrop Grumman. It's another example. And right now, more than $250 million is going to help Marriott build a hotel alongside the convention center. As chairman of Think Local First, are the priorities of this city, do the city leaders understand what needs to happen, as far as reaching out to small businesses?
Not really. I think the city talks about the idea of small businesses. They have the small business development, small business office for economic development or something like that, that tries to help small businesses. But really, in essence, it's a lot about just sort of procurement as opposed to, you know, brick and mortar type of businesses. And really, there's not a real understanding of the impact of small businesses has. A lot of politicians get up and speak about small businesses. You don't get a politician coming up and say, let's bring big business to our community. It's always about how mom and pop and small business and how important they are and how they are the backbone of our community and so on. Well, if in fact small businesses, and it is a fact, are the backbone of any community, they do provide the most number of jobs, the most number of taxes, you know, they employ the most number of people, so clearly they are the backbone. If they are the backbone, then they should have not just a level playing field, they should have a better playing field. They should have a higher playing field than normal. So if in fact they are the backbone, why aren't we treating them like the backbone? Why are we treating them like they're some set aside? And sort of opening the doors and windows city hall to large businesses, to the Northrop Grumman's and the Marriott's and the Walmart's. Those are not representative of small business values. They are the anti. I mean, if you're a capitalist, if you're truly a market capitalist, they are the anti-market capitalist. What they do is they don't want competition. They don't want to have nothing to do with competition. They want to snuff out everybody. They want monopolies. These people are monopolies. Walmart is a monopoly. Northrop Grumman is a monopoly. They depend on government. Walmart depends on government money. That's what they do. They're basically a siphon for government taxes. That's basically what they are. They set up this shop so that they can siphon out money from government. So they're not about the market. Walmart is not about the market. Walmart is about putting an end to the market so that they can have the only act in town. Small businesses have always been really kind of the forgotten child once a politician gets into office. Before they get into office, they're everything. They're the forefront. Once they get into office, they don't get a place at the table. They never get a place at the table. They're always looked upon as being kind of an annoyance. They bring you out for photo ops and then they send you home. The people that really get the attention, people that really get the incentives, people that really get the legislative gravitas are the large corporations. We small businesses need to have a bigger voice. The Chamber of Commerce, which is technically supposed to represent all businesses, particularly small businesses, has done an abysmal job in really representing small businesses. They're about large business. When they talk about leveling the playing field, when the Chamber of Commerce goes to lobby on behalf of business and they talk about we must level the playing field, what they're saying is that we must put out small business out of business, because leveling the playing field does not allow small business to succeed. When you have a level playing field and you have Godzilla on one end and Bambi on the other, you're not going to get very far. It's clear what the outcome of that fight is going to be. So we can't put Godzillas and Bambis in the same field and expect to have equal results. We need to make sure that our smaller businesses get a much higher ground, because they are the backbone of our society. They are the backbone of every community. They give neighborhoods their identity. People go to places. When people think of something, this is so New York. They're not talking about Goldman Sachs. They're not talking about Chase Manhattan. They're talking about the little coffee shop that they went into. They're talking about the pizza that New York has. They're talking about the theater that New York has. They're talking about the small businesses that make New York what it is. When people say this is so New Orleans, because they go to the French Quarter. They see the exciting, they see the beignets in the French Quarter. They eat the gumbo in the French Quarter. They go to the little antique shops in the French Quarter. Those are small businesses. Walmart does not represent a community. It's a behemoth that represents nothing but greed and capitalism at its worst.
Lastly, Andy Shaw, it seems ironic that the district has, it seems, for years, not invested in the small businesses, leaving huge swaths of the city, which are absent of meaningful jobs. And then because that respect and support for small business has not been put in place, then the argument for Walmart is, well, there are no jobs here. And what you're saying is then the bringing in the Walmart further prohibits future real small business growth.
Well, I mean, it goes back to what Naomi Klein wrote about, which is called The Shock Doctrine, her book, her very important book that talks about the idea of how oftentimes paradigm shifts happen in the way that communities bring about new businesses when there is a shock in place, when a town is so devastated that they'll take anything to save them, so to speak, whether it's a Walmart with something else. She talks about why after earthquakes or after big storms or after an economic depression, you know, there are opportunities and opportunists that come into play and say, oh, this isn't the moment to hit. Walmart couldn't come here if the economy was hitting full throttle. They could not enter the city. You know, no one would pay attention to them. But because we are at an economic low at this point, this is their moment. They can actually enter the city. And they know. They're very smart. They're not going to come with one. They know that. Because once they come in with one, people will see what Walmart is going to do. And they're not going to want anymore. So they're coming with four simultaneously. So once they're in, it's a fait accompli. It's, you know, they're not going to undo what they did. It's going to take a long time to do that. So that's why this is the moment for them. Really, if this moment passes, they know very well that they may not have another opportunity like this to be able to enter the city in such a big way. And Walmart has already saturated the suburban markets. So their new strategy is about the urban markets. And there's nothing like D.C. because D.C. isn't so much a important market in the sense that it has so many people in it, but it's an important market symbolically because it is the capital and it is an important city that has a lot of important people that they want to impress and be able to affect. So having a Walmart here is really has multi tiers to it. And you're right, you're absolutely right. Walmart could never enter the city had the economy been better or had the city been more willing to create better incentives for small businesses in order for them to thrive and succeed and create the jobs that we all want to have, as opposed to these jobs that are menial and really have very little future, in a sense, for people working in the city.
This is the last one. Do you think it's a fait accompli that Walmart will bring four stores to the District of Columbia, or do you see a place for citizens to enter this if they aren't looking forward to four Walmarts coming in?
Well, I think people power has to play into this formula. It's a more difficult fight in that Walmart is not asking for a tax abatement, so that makes it a little bit more difficult to fight against them. But there are ways that I think communities and the city can stop Walmart from coming in. Legislation that deals with zoning, legislation that deals with size of places, legislation that deals with taxes, for example, that need to be paid in the city as opposed to be transferred outside of the city, be paid in the hometown of the corporation, such as in this case, Arkansas. So, I mean, there are ways that we can make it less desirable for Walmart to come here. There are also ways, I think, that to maybe help Walmart to be a better employer, a better citizen of the world. Maybe if they do promise certain wage concessions and certain labor concessions and certain procurement concessions, I think possibly that might be one way to make it work. I don't think that will happen because I think their business model doesn't necessarily allow for that. So I'm not sure that they'll go in that direction. But I think there's a lot that can happen that citizens can do to make sure that if Walmart comes in here, it comes on terms that we set for it, as opposed to terms that Walmart sets for it. But I'm still hopeful that we will not see Walmart in D.C.
Thanks, Andy Shalal.
Thank you very much, Peter.